My name is Steve McEnroy, and I'm one of the pastors at the Rock Church. Most people do call me Pastor Mac, and you'd be willing to, or you'd be you'd be welcome to call me that as well. So I just feel privileged and humbled to be here with you. I really do. I'm really thankful that I could be with you. You need to know that at the Rock Church, we love you guys. We love you on the wall, and we're so thankful for churches that teach the Bible, that talk about Jesus openly in our community, in our valley, especially with sound doctrine. Churches that teach sound doctrine. You know, I've looked at some of your stuff. I don't know John that well. My co-pastor, Bill Young, and John are getting to know each other. Thankfully, we have a network of pastors in the valley that meet together, and we're really working hard, and we have been for years. I've been in Utah for 18 years now, and for years we've been trying to help each other, trying to reach more people, trying to help the church grow. And so when my pastor, Bill Young, my co-pastor, he said, Discovery is looking for somebody to preach on July 16th. You know, I don't always go around looking for places to preach, but there's plenty on my list of things to do. But my heart is, I hope you see my heart today. My heart is to serve you. That's why I wanted to be here this morning. I took that opportunity because I want to serve you. I want you to realize that arm in arm, we're with you. Everything that Lord has with us, has for us. I want to just share a little bit of my story and really even the Rock Church's story. Hopefully this will encourage you, especially the idea of unity. Now, this is, of course, God's story. The Lord decided to do something. He started moving in my life, and many of the people that I've been blessed to be associated with and live out my faith in the last number of years. So, you know, in a lot of different ways, you know, I want to just share with you a number of verses, but, you know, I think I'm gonna pray again, just ask God to help us. Lord, I come to you, and I just want to humble myself before you, Lord. Pray you'd have your way. I have to admit, I'm a little nervous. I'm not used to faces that I don't recognize, Lord. So I just pray today you would help us, Lord. I know you have purpose in everything you do, including this time of being together. So I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to give you just a little bit of my story, a little bit of a topical teaching this morning. I just want to encourage you. A verse that I've been thinking about, and you guys are probably familiar with this verse from Psalm 133, verse 1. A song of ascent of David. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. So there again, that's that song of ascent, really what David's talking about there. They would sing this song when they're going up the hill to Jerusalem. That song of ascents going, and they would sing. This is really an important part, I think, of their worship. That unity was a high place. It was had a priority in their walk with the Lord. And if you read, you're welcome to read with me in your Bibles. But if you read that entire Psalm, Psalm 133, there's not many verses, but most of you're probably familiar with it. He talks about how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. And he goes on to say it's like oil running down. He says, behold, how good and pleasing it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. And of course, back in the day, they didn't have showers or really even baths that much. But so an oil, it would have a different aroma, if you will, than our body oil. So this was a special thing to be like, oh, the precious oil upon his head, even Aaron's beard dripping down onto his garments. That would be a good feeling for Aaron. That would be something he would want. It's like the dew of Hermon coming down from the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. This idea of unity, that's what I want to talk about this morning. The Lord's been kind enough to place me in a number of places where unity wasn't an option. We needed to unite with some other churches. I've been in some different countries and whatnot that it was just, we had to work together. There's certainly some gray areas maybe that we didn't agree on, but we agreed on some of the sound doctrine that's near and dear to all of us, and I know that's near and dear for you here. The next verse, I've been praying for your church, especially since I found out that I'd be here. I've been praying for your church. I've been praying the prayers of Paul. Paul has some fantastic, marvelous prayers that we can imitate. And I just want you to know I've been praying this for you. I'll start with a couple of verses from Ephesians 1, verse 15 and 16. I actually like his the entire prayer. It says, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And I've been thinking about you guys, and remembering you in my prayers. I've been thinking about Discovery Christian Community, and just what a blessing you are to Utah. And he goes on to say, verse 17, I'll pick up there, that won't be on the screen, but he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as a head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. That is just it blesses my heart. That's just an all-encompassing prayer. And I've been praying through this, thinking of your church, thinking of you, and just how, I hope you understand that we're just thankful for you. And I want to apply this prayer to you. I hope to continue praying for this church. And I hope one day you'll pray for our church. So we'll understand our need to be praying for each other and lifting each other up. Is my clan, I don't know if you can see that very well. When my lovely wife and I first moved here to Utah in 1999, our kids were about the age of my grandkids there now. Only so some progress has happened without a doubt. I was thinking of Scott and Stacy here. We did some homeschooling stuff back in the day. But back in 1999, we moved here to Utah. My wife and I came from Colorado. We came to Christ later in life. I was 37 years old, and my wife, Jeannie, was 34 when we were living in Colorado. Both of us have a background of a lot of I could use the word dysfunction, but I think everybody kind of waters that down now. We came from a broken past, both my wife and myself, so there's a lot of different things that we struggled with. Me personally, drugs and alcohol. And we were in Colorado. We got married. We had a Christless marriage, so I call our first 10 years the tumultuous 10 years without Christ. Then at 37 years old, I was working as an electrician. We lived in Loveland, Colorado, and we were both kind of hitting the wall without Jesus. Our marriage was really struggling. We never had good examples, so we just kind of winged it, and we really didn't do a very good job of it at all. But our oldest daughter, at one point, she was playing with our neighbors in the area, and they asked if she could go to church with them. And if you ever meet my oldest daughter, she's just a bubbly, open personality. So she's okay. She went to church, and her mother and I thought, well, that would be good for her. That'd be good. That'd be good for our little girl to go to church. So she did go to church with the neighbors and came back, and she was just super excited and passionate about mom and dad going. Why don't you guys come to church with us? And we're like, honey, you just enjoy that. I don't think so. And so in March, one rainy, cold March morning, I think it was rain mixed with snow there in Loveland, Colorado, our daughter got up early and she dressed up and she came in and she jumped on mom and dad's bed. We weren't even out of bed yet. And she says, are we going to go to church today? She wants to go to church with her. And we had been thinking it would be good for the kids to go to church, so we were considering visiting some churches, and we did. But there really wasn't any connection quite yet. But this particular morning, so we got up, got the family all ready, and we ended up in this little church in Loveland, Colorado, a little community church in downtown Loveland, Colorado. They had just started this church, so there's just a handful of people. And our neighbor was there at the same time. We didn't even realize, not this particular neighbor that my daughter had been hanging with, but another neighbor. And the Lord just kind of lined that up. And that particular morning, Bill Young, my co-pastor, he was playing the drums. And we thought, oh, this is church, because we were familiar with that. He was playing the drums, and all of a sudden he got up from behind the drums, and he was the guy that gave the message. And we kind of resonated with that. But he gave a very clear gospel presentation that morning. And at one point during his presentation, he said, if God's tugging on anybody's hearts here, go ahead and look up at me. And I thought, well, God is really tugging on my heart here. I don't have a choice. So and it was way out of my comfort zone. I had some religious influence in my background, but I didn't know what's happening. I looked up, and I looked over, and my wife was looking up too. And that particular morning, the people loved on us from that little church, and we they sent a couple folks over, some dear friends that came over, and they shared the gospel with us in a very detailed, lengthy conversation in our home. And my wife and I, we repented and we asked Jesus into our lives. And at that point, we started to grow. We're just so excited. We didn't know what was going on, but people discipled us. That very week, we started reading the Bible for the first time, and going through a Bible study. And God's been having us on this journey ever since. It's been incredible. But even right at the beginning, there, my love affair started with the Lord. Some of these verses that I want to share with you became a pop-up book to me. When I started reading, I was so hungry. Like verses like this from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. But thanks be to God. You know, my wife and I, especially me, I think the Lord really got a hold of my heart, and we were on this, a parade, if you will, a triumphant procession. We are changed. We are born again. The Spirit of God lives in us now. And we started living in a different way, and the Lord started working in our lives, and there's lots of different things. He really did a 180 on me. And so I was running towards the Lord, and as I just believed everything. When I was reading the Bible, I was like, this is what I need to do. This is from God. And my wife's going, who is this guy? Because the Lord was bringing her along too, but we're kind of on different places. But thankfully, we had dear friends that kind of helped us along the way. And when I would read verses like Galatians 2:20, I really believed him. I really believed this was the Word of God, that he was moving and this is what he was doing. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I really believe that. I was working as a construction worker, and I was telling all the guys, I worked in that electrician, I say, this really happened to me, guys. And they're looking at me like, who is this? who is this guy? Because I was a project manager and I knew a lot of people, so I had a lot of influence. I had opportunity to tell people about this changed life, that I've been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer me who live, but Christ lives in me. And by faith, I wanted to live that out. And 2 Corinthians 3:2 is another important verse to me. As I was meeting people and growing in our faith, the first few years of our walk of faith, is you yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Again, like a 3D book. It's like, the Lord's writing this letter on us, honey. And my kids, our kids were involved. Say, the Lord's doing something here, and we're to tell the world about it. And you know, as three-year-old Christians, some of the people in the church I was involved with said, you know what, we're thinking about starting a church in Utah. And we lived in Colorado, and I thought, if we're going to charge the hill, let's go there. And I liked hanging out with the leaders, so I would just hang out with some of the leaders. Really no ideas of moving to Utah, but I would come with the pastors here, and we would go, and we'd knock on doors, we'd talk to people, we'd talk to other pastors in the valley here. Like 19 years ago or so, we started meeting people, and there was a church at the time that their pastor was leaving town, and they needed a pastor. And it really started to become evident that our church was going to be part of a startup church here in Utah. So my wife and I, in this place of just a fired up faith, we thought, well, maybe we're supposed to be part of this. There was a team of 30 people that were praying and considering about it. And when we actually sold our house and moved here, there's all kinds of stories and all that. But the Lord just answered all kinds of prayers, or it made it obvious. I had a job here. I came to a job. The company that I was working for, everything just kind of lined up. So at one point, we thought, you know what, maybe we should pray about going to Utah with these guys. And eventually, it was Bill Young, my co-pastor, and his family, and just my family. And we're like, where's everybody else? I thought we're going to Utah to start a work here and do something amazing. That's what the Lord was showing us to do. That's what we really felt like. Here's a picture of our first service back in the day in my co-pastor Bill Young's living room. It was just that couple and us, and he even printed out bulletins and stuff for us that first day. My oldest daughter was babysitting kids down in the basement, and when we finished up with a little Bible study there, the kids came up and our church doubled in size because we had more kids than adults. But those are sweet times in that the Lord's really written his letter on my heart. Just a lot of different things where the Lord was working. You know, when we first came to Christ, there's an Experiencing God study that we got involved in by Henry Blackaby, and I really liked the part where he said, well, look and see where God is working, where the Lord's at work, and join him in it. And again, the Lord really gave me faith that I could be a part of that. And we moved to Utah really not knowing much at all about the dominant religion here. The reason that I wanted to come here is because I just cared about souls. I cared about people that didn't know Jesus. And as I kind of was knit into the culture here, I realized there's a lot of people that didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, and it broke my heart. At first, I kind of wanted to pick a fight, you know, but then the Lord just softened my heart. He just gave me grace. And he just opened my eyes to just an incredible spiritual need. And it's been a blessing to be a part of it. This verse in 10:23, as young baby Christians, three-year-old Christians, you know, in Hebrews 10:33, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. We, man, in faith, there was a desperate faith that we lived in at times, especially as a young Christian. I think, and sometimes my co-pastor Bill would look at me and say, what are we going to do? But my faith, the Lord was stirring up. We knew that it'd be a huge leap of faith for us. We moved here. There was a sense of desperation, but then the Lord just carried us. He just helped us every step of the way. And there's life verses that he started writing on my heart, like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your paths straight. And I was desperate for scripture, so I really became a student of my Bible and pursued the Lord, because we just felt like this Goliath, if you will, that we moved into, the Lord had to do it. And he did. He showed us all kinds of different things. He's been so faithful to his promises. He has brought so many to faith. We've been privileged to see so many people. Our little church, our little two people on a couch. He brought so many people to baptize and growing up in Christ in the last 18 years. It's been absolutely incredibly humbling. What we've seen, what the Lord's been teaching us every step of the way. You know, I started reading a lot of biographies. I like reading about C.T. Studd. He's one of my heroes. Not only do I like his name, I think that he did a lot for the Lord. Some wish to live within the sound of a church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. And I just think of that quote, you know, I don't have a lot of tradition in my background, a lot of really traditional things that I've been a part of, but I care about souls. And I think C.T. Studd, he was involved in all kinds of different things. You know, of course, God likes to mix things up when he's growing his church. And we've seen old and young, wealthy and poor, drug addicts, homeless people. It's just things that I'd never thought I'd be a part of, a story that only God could write. Just different people that I would meet and a number of us would meet, and the Lord would be drawing him to himself. Not that we had this all put together church, but the Lord was moving. We didn't know a lot of what we were doing. We pursued God. We looked to him to lead us every step of the way. A lot of things by faith. We just look at each other. Well, I guess we'll do that. I guess that makes sense. I guess the Lord is doing this. As it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us, we should move in that direction. You know, I'm not here to promote the Rock Church. I'm here to promote Jesus. And you need to know that. But we have seen some things, and I hope this is encouraging to you, that I believe the Lord is still moving in profound ways. You know, he softened my heart and has given me a confidence, I think, that's kind of changed the way I think about things. This verse from Psalm 37 has been on my heart for a long time. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And in many ways, in my young faith, that three-year-old baby Christian here in Utah, I love the Lord. I don't know everything, but I love the Lord. I worked construction. I worked on the Grand America when they added on to the Little America when I first moved here, and I would put atomic fireballs in my gang box because I was a foreman, and I'd say, "You guys want to?" I'd get these guys hooked on atomic fireballs, and I'd talk to them about Jesus. So all these different trades, plumbers and laborers and different people, they knew about this electrician over in the corner. You could get atomic fireball, and he'll talk to you about Jesus, but it's all good. And the Lord continued to work and move in our lives. You know, we started in Bill's living room, and then we grew into, we outgrew the living room. And then we met at Alta Rec Center in Sandy. And at Alta Rec Center, our kids' classes were in the racquetball rooms, so it was so echoey in there. You could hardly teach. It would just echo. And we met in an exercise room that had mirrors on the wall, so it looked like we were twice as big as we really were. It had twice as many people. But the Lord grew that faith, and we baptized people in that rec center pool, and God continued to work. He continued to show us different things, and a core of 50 younger folks in our church were just on fire for Jesus. And so we kind of incubated that group of 50 folks, and then we started another church in South Salt Lake at 2100 South. We had a warehouse there that we found that was just It was trashed, but it's the only thing we could afford. So we rolled up our sleeves. We fixed up that old warehouse. And along the way, somehow, God grew that church. Things were happening. And a church from Michigan called Kensington, they sent a small team of people, and they ended up being K2 the church. But we met these guys, and we loved them, and we labored together with K2 the church, and we tried to help them find location. We couldn't find any locations for them to meet, and they had a lot of financial support. There just wasn't a place for them. So we thought, hey, why don't you use the Red Warehouse on Sundays? We only use it on Saturday nights. And so we moved in together. They used it on Sundays, and we used it on Saturday nights. And at first you'd say, you know, I don't want to share my house with my cousins over here. You got to work through some things. It's not that easy. But the Lord, I think the God was honored with that unity. And we it grew. And we would pray as a staff, as our core group, we would pray that their church would outgrow ours. We said, we want the best for you. We want to help you. And lo and behold, it did. Their church grew like crazy. And now they meet in another building. There's another church, Crosspoint. When they first came to town, they met in our building on 106 South. Then we moved to 106 South to an old, I don't know if you've ever been there, an old, it's knocked down now, but it was an old commercial site on 106 South and 13th East. And when we first arrived there, it was absolutely trashed. It was destroyed. And the guy who was showing it says, you guys really don't want to rent this, do you? And he said, yeah, we'll take it. We told us the price. So we fixed that up as best we could, you know, what we could afford. And 106, that's where we incubated that team that went to South Salt Lake. But also another church, Cross Point, some guys from Tennessee, they came up. And I'm just sharing a few of the stories with you. They started meeting Sunday nights in our church to just get their feet on the ground. They ended up buying a building and they moved out. So they bought a building out west, and eventually that church, it grew and grew. You know, eventually our church, we started another church plant in Provo, and Cross Point, they're out west. And from our downtown church, we actually broke off from that and started a church in Cross Point's new building. So we meet Friday nights in their building, and they meet Sunday mornings. The building's for sale right now, so you can be praying. We don't know what our next move is going to be. But I just want to share those things with you, that those opportunities for unity building have really, really blessed us along the way, really taken us on another level. You know, I want to share this psalm with you at this point. Psalm 13:6, I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. You know, I think we kind of always think of this psalm as just kind of a happy song. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. If you go to Psalm 13, you'll notice this is actually begins, there's only six verses in this psalm, but it actually begins as a lament from David. I don't know if you realize that or not, but in this Psalm 13, things were hard for David. There wasn't, I don't think this is a time of ascent or excitement. It was a difficult thing. So when you read the first five verses of Psalm 13, listen to this. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. And then there seems to be a change of heart here. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. You know, along the way, we grew quickly. And we saw just miraculous types of things. Saw a lot of people come. But it did not come without heartache. There's just a lot of things that have happened. A lot of people come and go. You guys have probably experienced that as well. A lot of people come and go. And, you know, that's one of the hardest things for me in ministry, because I genuinely believe the Spirit of God lives in me and He loves people. So He's changed me in that way to care about people. But there's been such heartache over the year. People that I thought were with us to the end, hard things would happen. You know, when we went to Provo, I was part of that church plant. I brought my family with me. When we went to Provo, you know, we hit that place with a sledgehammer, if you will. We had a lot of energy. We had some funds. And we started a church in a warehouse down there. And a lot of broken people showed up. The Lord brought us a lot of the outcasts. There'd be teenagers, maybe 35, 40 teenagers in our parking lot just smoking cigarettes when we had church on Friday night. And we said, well, should we kick them out? It was just a hard place to be. And then we started some mentally disabled people. A number of people that our little church in Provo started drawing. I never thought, even though my background was in this area of abuse, I ran away from that world. And the Lord, I guess, brought me full circle where that is where I began to minister. So we had a sweet ministry going on in Provo, where we ministered to some homeless folks, a lot of down and out people. It was excruciatingly difficult, but it grew me more than anything I've ever been a part of. Well, that type of ministry is not self-supporting, if you will. So our church overall, yeah, it's the Lord blessed us and we got to be a part of that. But things change. And after a while, we realized, for one, we were losing our building again in Provo. So we were concerned about that. That was a big thing. But as we overlooked at the bigger picture of what we might do, we decided we needed to close that location in Provo. And that's the hardest thing I've ever been through, is just passing that baton. There's people, especially some folks that are mentally ill, that still just text me all the time that we are ministering to. So to get everyone placed in a spiritual home, if you will, we looked for a number of churches down there, tried to help everybody get assimilated into another church. We came up and we lost quite a few people. And we brought our core group. We all moved back up here to the valley. And my wife and I now live in Draper, and my kids as well. They're all in this area now. But that was the hardest thing for me. Sometimes things are just really hard. You don't know what the Lord's doing. Our downtown church grew and grew, and we planted that church out west. And then the church downtown started ministering to a lot of down and out outcasts as well. And then that building, we found out, was going to be demolished. So we never planned to start these things and then come back. The Lord's blessed. And in Draper, we've built a new building. And our Provo church has folded back in. Our Salt Lake location has folded back in. But helping folks, we lost a lot of folks in the Salt Lake situation too. But the Lord has grown us. I think we're at more of a place of strength right now. And it's been hard to lead people through difficult things. I thought we were going to stay here and minister and trying to help people see the bigger picture that, you know, together we can do these things. We can only afford one mortgage right now. So this is probably from the Lord. This is what we have to work through and trust Him in this change. And like I said, our west location now it's for sale. The Cross Point, they purchased that building, and now they're in a place where they're moving out. So their association owns that facility. And so we're praying and asking God what our next step would be. You know, I just share all those things with you just to say, I know for you too, I'm sure there's been hard things, you know, and I don't know John all that way. Well, you know, my co-pastor Bill knows him much better. I think I was thinking when I was coming here, you know, for my kids, if my wife and I would go out of town, you know, there's only certain people that we would have be with them. And so another reason why I'm honored to be here is just Bill and John trust each other. They both love the Lord, and we want to help each other. But the Lord has been good to us, to the good, the bad, and the ugly, if you will. I like Psalm 13:6. Or whoops, that's not it. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. He's been so good to me. I'm so thankful for that. But there's been some hard refining things along the way, and there's no way around that. I think that's part of the Lord's plan for us, that we go through refining things that grow our faith as he walks us through different things. But I'm praising Lord for the here and now, for you, for the things that the Lord's doing at the Rock, and there's a lot of other good Bible-believing, sound doctrine churches in this valley, even a lot more than when I came here 18 years ago, that the Lord is moving. And I think we need each other. I really do. I think we need to be united. I care about what happens here. I don't know all of you, but I do recognize some faces that somewhere in Christendom we've crossed paths, but I love you guys. You know, and God's doing things here. I love the carpet. It's looking good. And I'm excited for you, and I will pray for you. I ask you to pray for me. Here's another prayer that Paul prays in when he wrote his letter to Philemon. This prayer: I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. I want to say it again. We thank God for you. This church is a blessing to our valley, and hopefully we can continue to support each other and pray for each other for the greater body of Christ. It goes on to say in Philemon, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. We thank God for you. Again, I'm humbled and honored. I hope you know that I just want more of him and less of me. And the things that we've been involved in, I just shared a little snippet of what the Lord's done over the years, and he continues to work. But in faith together, can we trust him to do mighty things in our lifetime? We can. We can. And my head's spinning. The Lord's doing so much. Some of it's really, really hard. Some of it's been difficult. I've had health issues along the way. The Lord's done amazing things in our life. A lot of dear brothers and sisters that I don't know what's happened to them right now. I trust they're still following the Lord. I believe that every time we pour into people, that that's the Lord's thing. Never give up on people. Just the next person, love them, win them to Christ, teach them, disciple them, wherever the Lord takes them, hopefully he'll use them right where they're at. So with that, again, I'm just humbled and honored to be with you. I wanted to share you just a little bit. When I heard I had the opportunity to come and serve, that's what I wanted to do. So it's been nice to be with you. I'm just going to pray a prayer to close this, and then I think we're going to sing a couple more songs. Lord Jesus, I love you, and I'm delighted in you, Lord. Delight yourselves in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I am delighted in you, Lord, and what you do day in and day out, Lord. I don't know what this day holds, but Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, if we have opportunity to talk about you and what you've done for us, Lord, help us to open our mouths. Help us to let you just work through us, Lord. I pray we'd be men and women that just serve you in a way that honors you and brings you glory. Jesus, I thank you that you really did. You died on the cross and you rose from the dead, and my God lives. I pray to you. I love you. I thank you for this time this morning, and I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. It's good to be with you. Thank you.